For Jeff Buckles and Mark Beebe, this is Mike Moody, and I just welcome you again to our Bible study program. Today we're in 1 Timothy chapter 2 once again, and we're looking at this week the areas of prayer that Paul encouraged Timothy as ones come out together in the name of Christ. Some areas of prayer that are quite important to the local assembly. Now, let's look to the Lord in prayer before we begin. Father, again, we just come before you with thanksgiving and with praise and with worship. And we think of the opportunity we have to pray if we know you as our Savior. We just take this seriously, Lord, and we just ask that you would burden our hearts to have more time in prayer. And Father, we just thank you again for the access which comes only through Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Okay, as we took a moment to open up in prayer, it came to mind the importance to pray for individuals that we know. And today, the very subject that we're looking at will be intercession. Our verse is chapter 2, verse 1 in 1 Timothy. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, it goes on to say, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we're exhorted to pray for all men and for those in authority. And this is truly intercession, isn't it? To pray for others. Now, we need to clarify one thing from the outset, that when we speak of intercessory prayer, that means we as believers beseech God to pray for an individual, to pray for a circumstance that they're in, for their spiritual growth, it may be a physical condition. It may be we find ourselves many times praying for ones, for loved ones, in particular even, to be saved. So this is intercessory prayer. Now let's make it clear, though, that if some have misapplied, and maybe because of a system that they've come out of, to think that if a quote-unquote preacher is praying for them, or whatever term that you may use, that sometimes one thinks that prayer has more weight to it. My friend, the only way that you have access to God in prayer anyway is through Christ. And when you're saved, the scripture makes it clear that we are all on an equal level as far as access to God. Ones that preach the word or ones that may have been given titles by men have no more access to God than anyone else. I like the illustration of a well-known brother. I would not hesitate to use his name because the Lord has used him in a great way evangelistically, and that's Brother Billy Graham. He's a tremendous evangelist, and the Lord has given him more gifts than anyone combined that we could name as far as his use of evangelism. He's been gifted in that particular way. Some believers are gifted in other areas. But just because he's been used in such a great way and preached to so many millions and many people have heard the gospel by him, my friend, when it comes to the subject of prayer, he has no more access than you as a believer or I as a believer. You see, we are all that know him. Let's clarify that. All of us that know Christ as our Savior, we all have equal access in prayer. So we could say, oh, I could never preach like Billy Graham. Well, no. If God has not gifted you to be an evangelist in that way, then no. But you can pray equally as some well-known name, fill in the blank. It wouldn't have to be that particular brother. Name some other gifted brother that you could pray just as well as they can to the Lord. You may not be able to stand upon your feet and be eloquent. That's not what we're saying. But as far as having access, we read in Hebrews yesterday that we have boldness to enter in. Also that we can claim that boldness and enter into the throne of grace in time of need. So let us clarify that it's not based upon individuals if the prayer will go through to the Lord. It's based on if you have a relationship with Him. Also, we need to have clean hands. That represents not a physically clean hand, but it represents a life that's not defiled by sin. That is the key. It's not who you are as far as being well known among the believers, but it is what is your relationship? What is your standing before God? Are you saved, my friend? And do you have a heart that is not bogged down with sin? Oh, He can still hear you, but doesn't it hinder your relationship when you are trying to pray through hypocrisy? The scripture says, be reconciled to your brother, then come back and pray. There needs to be a clear conscience before God. So we see that as we jump in today of the subject of intercessory prayer, praying for others. Now, as we look in Romans chapter 9, a tremendous illustration of praying for others, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the Romans, and as our brother Jeff is going through that particular book study, he'll shortly be upon this verse. It says in chapter 9, Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now we see he's praying for those that are his fellow brothers naturally, fellow Hebrews, these Israelites that have not seen the truth in Christ. They were still looking at the Old Testament economy as a way to God. So he was praying for them that they would not be lost, that they would turn to Christ. Oh, my friend, do we pray for those who are lost? Do we pray for those who are on that broad road to destruction, that they may turn from darkness into that marvelous light? As we think of that tremendous heavy heart that Paul had, we could also look at intercessory prayer in the book of Acts, chapter 13. And here we see Paul once again, Paul and Barnabas. Let's just begin at the beginning of chapter 13. Here in the early church, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now remember, Saul was the name early on for the Apostle Paul. But shortly after he was saved, they began calling him Paul. So we see here in the church at Antioch, there was five prophets and teachers. Prophets is sometimes, such as in the Old Testament, it was to foretell, to tell things that God had spoken that would come. But here in the New Testament, we see prophets being spoken largely as forth-tellers, preaching, giving out the word. So we see prophets and teachers, and it lists five. As we go on and study church truth here and how we ought to behave ourselves in the church of God, here in chapter 3 is mentions that very theme of our study in 1 Timothy, we'll see that part of church behavior is church government. And we see early on in the book of Acts in verse 1 here in chapter 13, that there was a group of elders, there's a group of teachers, a group of shepherds for the local church there at Antioch. There wasn't just one doing everything. We see five men. I mentioned them by name here. And this is an early indication of a group of shepherds for a local church. But I've said that to say this. What do we see happen? We see in verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them out. So we see here that there was prayer. We see here that as two of the five teachers in the local church at Antioch was called by the Lord to be sent out as missionaries, they sent them out with prayer. Oh, my friend, here is intercessory prayer. These men prayed for the two that they were sending out. They knew not what they had run into. They knew that it could be a fierce battle of opposition. They knew that it was a spiritual battle. So these men, the teachers there at Antioch, sent two of them out from among themselves as the Holy Ghost raised them up and called them to be missionaries. And they sent them out to do the work. But they sent them out with prayer. It wasn't a haphazard thing, just, oh, I'm going to go out today and do this work. But they sent them out with prayer. So we see there the ones going out to evangelize and to teach the word. They had the backing of prayer. You know, I've got a friend of mine who sometimes uses this term when we are thinking about looking at a certain outreach or a certain work for the Lord. He says, well, let's spend some time and water this with prayer. You know, you think of things that grow. Well, let's do that. Let's water this idea with prayer and see what the Lord shows us. Also, let's turn quickly back before time runs out into Genesis 18. We see how Lot had found himself. He was, would call this backslidden position. He's called righteous, so we see him as a believer. Second Peter tells us about how God delivered just Lot from being in Sodom and Gomorrah. But now let's look at the situation at hand, where Abraham is going before the Lord to intercede on the behalf of those in Sodom and Gomorrah, for Lot, his nephew, and for his family, that God may not destroy these cities. We see here in 18, in verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous? Now, God said he would spare it for 50, but there was not 50. And he went on. He lowered the number to 45 and 40 and 30 and 20 and then 10. And we see there was not that many righteous ones in Sodom and Gomorrah. So although Abraham had interceded on the behalf of others, we must keep in mind that sometimes, as in other prayers, the answer may be yes or no or wait. We see here, although Abraham interceded on the behalf of others, God still determined that he had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Join us again tomorrow at 1 o'clock.